Yo, hello and welcome to Full Access Hoops episode 34. We are doing the OTG Power Rankings, and with me to do so is Nick Fay and Jack Manuel. Boys, how's it hanging?
Corey is the host. This is what I like to say.
I'm doing great, Corey. Happy to be on Full Access Hoops again.
Yeah, second time for you, Nick. And actually, maybe the second time for you too, Jack. So yeah, things come in twos.
Yep, good things come in twos, and can't wait for this one.
Yeah, so today we're basically on OTG, we're bringing back the rankings page. It was something that we did a lot in the past. We're doing team power rankings, player power rankings. This podcast is for the team power rankings. And Jack's been, you know, running this through the OTG staff. The staff, including myself, have been voting on who we think is the best. Spoiler, the Warriors are still number one.
Well.
But aside from that, we're going to break it down.
Excited. I can't believe the Warriors are number one. What do they do this offseason? What have I been watching?
How many all-stars do they have?
They have an NBA. Have one,
right?
They have an all-star starting five.
So I guess we'll start with the bottom of the list and work our way down. The Atlanta Hawks came near the bottom of the power rankings. They were averaged at 29.7 as a ranking, which pretty much puts them dead last. Boy, surprised by the Hawks being basically last?
Not really. Yeah, I mean, personally, I mean, most of us had them last. A couple of people had them second last, and one person had them third last. I know you're a big fan of the Atlanta Hawks. One of my first pods with you, one of my greatest memories, was you throwing some absolute, the highest amount of shade on them. I'll never forget that. But, you know, I don't mind the moves that they made this offseason in terms of their drafting. And, you know, they've still got that cap space and flexibility. So I believe in what they're building, but it's going to be a long process for them, as Joel Embiid would probably tell them.
Yeah, I think bottom three is a lock for the Hawks. I think last is fine. Just like they got younger, they made some good draft picks. They're going to try to lose again probably and get another high pick. So 30's fair.
Yeah, actually, funny enough, last night the Pacers played the Hawks in Summer League and they blew a 15, 17 point lead. And I actually had a Hawks writer or whatever tweet at me and said like the Pacers choke more than the Atlanta Falcons do. Like, I was like, get out of my mentions. Like, why are you coming out? Like, but yeah, I'm not surprised by this either. I think the Hawks at 29.7 as an OTG average is a pretty accurate. Next up is the Sacramento Kings coming at 27.4. Again, you know, bottom half or, you know, bottom five in the league. Obviously, they picked up a lot of young rookies. This core continues to get younger. They've been tied to possibly going after, you know, they tried to get Zach LaVine, of course. Are the Kings where they're supposed to be?
Yes. I mean, you could easily make an argument for them as being the worst team because, for me, the Hawks at least have some structural compatibility. You know, their front office, Travis Schlenk, hiring the new coach and Lloyd Pierce, you know, I believe in the direction in what Atlanta's doing. You know, they've got a history of doing so. Whereas with the Sacramento Kings, you know, the past decade or so, you just don't know which direction they're heading in. They're zigging when they're supposed to be zagging. They're zagging when they're supposed to be zigging. They apparently have a super team. I don't know what Vlade Divac has been smoking out there in Sacramento, but you know, I was surprised to see a couple of our riders, you know, rank them above that sort of bottom five range like you were talking about, Corey, because, you know, they've got a semblance of, like, you know, there's all these untried guys. I actually had Harry Giles as one of my guys to watch in an article I wrote for Beckett because I think, you know, he was at a Duke. He was a really great prospect, and I think he can be quite a good player this year and even in the running for Rookie of the Year. But, you know, Marvin Bagley hasn't showed a lot in this summer league. So, you know, there's just a lot of things that this Sacramento team doesn't really do well.
Yeah, Jack was pretty spot on. You know, we don't really know what's going on in the organization. We don't know the direction, but I like Harry Giles, like you said. He's had a really nice summer league. Nice to see him healthy. They do have some nice young talent. It's just about putting it all together and does it fit together. So I think this is another fair ranking at 29. I mean, bottom three, bottom five team for pretty much the whole season.
Yeah, you guys are right on the money. I was surprised that, you know, obviously a couple of people had them at 24, which, you know, I can't think of six teams for sure better than them, but 27.4 was the average. And I agree, you know, this team is still got a long way to go. And now next up, I know you guys will be happy to know that this team came third to last in the average, the New York Knicks at 27.1. You know, the Knicks obviously have a ton of turmoil with Porzingis possibly. You know, who knows when he returns from the ACL injury. Thoughts on the Knicks?
Look, I'm not going to lie. As a Nets fan, I am somewhat bullish on this Knicks squad and this Knicks sort of franchise getting itself together, you know, under Scott Perry, Scott Mills, and David Fizdale, the new hiring out there. I like the direction they're heading. Kevin Knox has been a bit of a stud in the summer league, despite the fact that two stupid fans booed and caused a ruckus at the NBA draft. It's Knicks fans. What do you expect? Who knows? That booing could be a good omen. It happened to Porzingis. Knox could be, you know, an absolute stud. He's certainly shown some nice things. But I think that they're a little bit better than this. But, you know, you could make an argument that, you know, the teams around this range, you know, you could roll the dice. I don't think that they're in the worst two teams. I think for me, the Kings and the Hawks are in a sort of tier of their own. But obviously, when we're doing 1 to 30, you have to just give them that number. But I think the Knicks are slightly above that tier. And I think they've got in Porzingis, if he comes back, you know, that guy is an all-star and an all-NBA worthy player. So I think the Knicks are okay. And I think they can certainly exceed OTG's expectations, so to speak.
I think, like you said, Jack, the Porzingis injury, when is he going to be back? You know, what do we expect? And I also think probably for some fans' perspective, they'll probably trade maybe Courtney Lee or Enes Kanter at the deadline trying to get an asset or something. So I don't think they're going to try to win. I think it would make the most sense for them to lose. But like you said, they're probably a little bit more talented than a few of these teams. But if I had a bet on it, I don't think Porzingis will play this season.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The Porzingis, the question mark around Porzingis to me is probably what makes this team, like I ranked them 27. So then being at 27.1, I was pretty damn close. But I think that, like you said, Nick, you know, Porzingis might not even play this year. Obviously, I love David Fizdale. I think he's going to really, you know, turn the culture around there. But, you know, if they were to trade a Kanter or a Courtney Lee and Porzingis doesn't come back, I mean, this is a bottom five team probably in the NBA. So I think this rating is pretty fair.
Yeah.
And then next up is a team that I think is slightly higher. Orlando Magic at 26.7%. I mean, I think this team is still going to be really bad. Some people were a lot higher on them than me. I was the only one to rank them 29th. Thoughts, boys?
Yeah, I had them 28th, Corey. So I'm sort of in that range for you. Like I said, I think they're slightly better than the Kings because, you know, Aaron Gordon, they at least have a semblance of a talent there that they can sort of build around. Obviously, he re-signed for 4 years, $84 million. I really, really like Isaac and Bamba. I just don't know how those three sort of cornerstones are going to mix together. They still don't have a point guard. I mean, unless you want to count Jerry and Grant, who was okay for the Bulls last year. You know, the rumors around Isaiah Thomas have been waning. You can't really play a good semblance of basketball without a point guard. I don't think Jonathan Isaac's going to be doing any ball handling duties or Aaron Gordon. So there's all these mismatching pieces. You know, they got rid of Biombo, which I think works well, so they can give those minutes to the young guys. The young talent's there. The new coach is there. It's just going to be to see what happens next.
Yeah, I think the lack of point guard is the real problem for them. We're obviously doing these rankings super early, so other moves can still happen and take everything with a grain of salt. But without getting another point guard, I think they're in trouble. You mentioned Gordon being there at least is nice. Bamba's been nice. Isaac's been nice in summer league. So if they can kind of get that together, you know, it'll look good and it would make sense to play the young guys and try to lose and maybe get another lottery pick. I don't think there's much point in playing, you know, some of the veterans and maybe try to move them similar to the Knicks at the deadline.
Yeah, the point guard issue. I mean, you don't got the team leading assist guy, Shelvin Mack. I mean, that's going to hurt badly. But, you know, this team's got some nice young pieces, as you guys mentioned, Aaron Gordon, Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac. I mean, these guys, you're just looking for them to grow as players, you know, get a little bit better. Let Steve Clifford kind of turn this team into more of a defensive threat, which is, you know, what he's known for. And they have some nice defensive pieces. So this team could be a better defensive team. I don't know. I just don't see a lot of magic happening. And yeah, pun intended there. Next up are a team that I'm really high on. The Chicago Bulls, they came in at 26.3. I ranked them at 25. Thoughts on this young Bulls team?
Look, to steal a pun from you, Corey, I'm not as bullish on this Chicago team. But look, I can understand why some people are. You know, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter may be the Summer League MVP. I think he has shown so much on both ends of the floor. Al Horford light. He can certainly develop into that type of player. A lot of people were sort of questioning his ability to sort of rotate on defense. He's sort of put those fears to rest. I like Chris Dunn. Zach LaVine, a little bit too much money, but at the same time, you know, it's a sort of potential pay. So you know, you can understand to an extent why they re-signed it. I personally wouldn't have in terms of that money, but, you know, good for him. So they've got a semblance of, you know, this nice young team, all these really good young pieces. And Robin Lopez as well, a guy who's sort of just a journeyman who I've got a lot of respect for, being a Lopez brother fan myself. But, yeah, I'm a little bit less on this team, but, you know, they've got all these nice sort of pieces going forward. And I think that they should be seeing some playoff basketball in, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years' time.
Yeah, this is another team, very talented team. They don't have a ton of great guards, I would say, veteran-wise. But also, you know, last year we saw them in the first half of the season play really well, have that nice little winning streak, and then the second half they kind of went towards losing. So I would expect the same thing here. You know, they're going to have nice cap space next year, maybe add one more high lottery pick, and then maybe take a swing in free agency. So this makes sense for them in the bottom five.
Yeah, I mean, I just think this, like you guys have mentioned, a lot of young talent on this team, how guys progress. Zach LaVine may have gotten slightly too much money, but I think, you know, the upside to Zach LaVine, if he can stay healthy and that knee heals up perfectly, we saw some of the bounce. I know Nick's mentioned it a lot. He still looked crazy athletic last year, even coming back from the ACL injury. And I think you're kind of right on, Jack, you know, but especially in the East, you know, 2-3 years, this team very well may be back in the playoffs. So I think, you know, I have them a little bit higher, but I think 26 is pretty fair. And now, you know, surprisingly enough, the Phoenix Suns come in at 24.2.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little bit lost for words, fellas. Suns this high.
Sunny days ahead, Corey. No, I'm going to stop with the puns.
I have one for every team, Jack.
I think we have to now. We might as well keep going, right?
All right. We'll do our best. But yeah, I'm actually quite high on this Phoenix Suns team. I don't know why. There's just something about them. There's this intangibility. There's this unexplainable quality that I have to them. Our boy, the young god, Dylan Jackson, had them 18, which I think was quite high. And obviously the boy, the fan himself, Michael Sanchez, who is, you know, writing some awesome pieces for OTGBasketball.com, had him at 22nd. He's obviously one of their biggest fans. But yeah, I like Ayton, Ariza, you know, these guys, they've added, you know, Bridges. You know, they're going to be making some more additions, so to speak. I think they could go after Isaiah Thomas. They still don't really have a point guard. I mean, is it a Kobo? Is that who they've been playing in the summer league?
Yeah, he's been nice. He's raw, though.
He is very raw, but you know, he will play a bit of minutes, I think. So these young pieces are really exciting. Devin Booker signing that max extension. Some people are questioning it. I'm not really. I think that he has, you know, some serious potential to be an all-star. Not sure on sort of top 10, top 5 potential, but he is a very good player. And if, you know, you've got Andrew Wiggins to a max, then Devin Booker's really a no-brainer. So, I mean, I'm basically on the average, slightly above the average, as Corey was saying. So I must be doing something right.
I think they're about right. You know, maybe, you know, I could see them being a little higher. I could see them being a little lower. Like Jack said, they do need a point guard. Probably there's been some rumors about possibly trading for a Jeremy Lin or another veteran like that. I think that would be a big boost for the team. But I mean, you got to expect improvement from Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, just all the young guys over there to get a little bit better. So I think this is pretty fair.
I mean, I had them at 26. I mean, I guess I just see the youth and I just don't see a ton of way to move, you know, power wise. But of course, you know, like as Jack mentioned, some guys are extremely high on them. Sunny days, I guess, are here, right? But I think it's pretty fair at 24.2. It is a young core. And who knows, if Devin Booker pops off this year, DeAndre Ayton, you know, makes a run for rookie of the year, this team is probably, you know, a little bit higher on these power rankings in, you know, than my eyes. And then next up are your guys, Brooklyn Nets. They come in at 23.6, a pretty fair rating. I had them at 23, higher than Mr. Nets himself, Jack Manuel, at 25.
Yeah, I'm not going to do a pun here because I'm going to get a bit more serious and explain. Partly also because I can't think of a pun for Nets. It's a really hard one. But for me, when it comes to me following teams, I like to underrate them and then be exceeded in my expectations. I do the same in any sporting event or in any part of life. It's a life motto to have, my friends. Have undersell it and then be slightly surprised. I think that there's still some issues with the Nets. I mean, on the Brooklyn Buzz, Nick and I explain it going forward, all the sort of issues as well as the positives. But I think that there's still, you know, roster sort of issues in terms of that sort of stretch four. In terms of talent, I still don't think that there's a top 30 talent there right now. Obviously, D'Lo can certainly turn into that. But I just think that this, despite the fact that the East has gotten weaker with the departure of LeBron and, you know, obviously others, I think that the Nets are still a ways away from being a legitimate playoff contender. I think that Sean Marks is making all the right moves in terms of salary cap flexibility next year as well. I like Jana Musa. I like Rodion Skurax. It's just going to be whether these guys can continue to improve or whether, you know, we see a year or maybe we stall somewhat. I think we are going to improve, but at the same time, I think that there is some issues going forward for my boys, mine and Nick's boys.
Yeah, Jack was pretty spot on. You know, there's still some issues with the roster, defense, stretch four. I think, you know, the Nets are bank on a lot of internal development. And like I mentioned before, we're doing this pretty early. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Nets make another trade by the end of July, maybe add a player. I mentioned maybe moving Jeremy Lin. You know, there's been some rumors about Marcus Smart. So I think there's still potential out there. I wouldn't be surprised if the Nets got higher. I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed right here. I think a couple guys are going to improve that you didn't expect. But like Jack said, there's not a ton of talent. Using that cap flexibility next year is going to be a bigger move.
Kaza as well, Nicholas, having them as second last. You might have to slide into that man's DMs and give him a bit of a talking to.
Because, that's rude. That's rude.
We're certainly better than that. He should know what the boss man thinks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at 23, so that being 23.6, I was close to the OTG consensus. I think what sticks out to me about the Nets, which, you know, you guys obviously cover them closely, and you guys do a great job on the Brooklyn Buzz. If you guys don't listen to the Brooklyn Buzz, listen to the Brooklyn Buzz or stop listening to this podcast right now. No, I'm just kidding. I think the Nets, especially because, like, I just love the chemistry. I think that plays a huge factor. The young guys progressing farther, the Nets seeming like a tight-knit bunch, which is why Dwight Howard was never going to play there. I think this is a fair rating, and, you know, who knows? You know, Marcus Smart has been tied to the team, as Nick just mentioned. If they get a guy like that, I mean, I would really love to see Marcus Smart in Brooklyn. But I think the Nets definitely are a come up, and yeah, 29 is rude.
Yeah. One more thing. I think D'Angelo Russell will be a huge factor in this ranking. You know, there's been a lot of talk about him pushing to an all-star level or not. What's going to happen with him? Can he stay healthy? I think he'll be a big factor where the Nets end up at the end of the season.
Yeah, I would think that's fair to say. And now, next up, what a fall from grace from any power rankings anyone had last year. The Cleveland Cavaliers at 22.4. I had them at 20. Jack had them at 23. Jack, 23, why? Is it because LeBron was 23? Is that why? Is it a play?
I mean, Kobe Altman was quite cavalier with in the final. I'm doing okay at this. But I think, you lose LeBron James, you automatically... We talked about this team, the fact that LeBron James dragged them and that this wasn't a playoff-bound team without him. So take out LeBron James, you have Kevin Love. And basically, that's a Minnesota team in the Western Conference. And that team was pretty trash. You know, Kevin Love would put up numbers. Ricky Rubio would do some nice dimes to him. You know, Tristan Thompson is a starter. J.R. Smith is barely a starter. Rodney Hood has shown glimpses, but not enough to, you know, warrant any sort of, you know, fanfare. I just don't. And Colin Sexton is good, but I think I'm sort of, I think Dylan's mentioned this before. I'm not with him as being the best sort of point guard in this draft. I'm a little bit higher on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So for me, there's just teams that are better than them. And it might have been a bit harsh to sort of rate them lesser than teams like the Pistons and the Hornets. But I see them trading Kevin Love as well. I did a piece for OTG Basketball on the trade packages, and it would be remiss of Kobe Altman if he doesn't do that and they don't go the rebuilding route because, you know, despite the fact that I think I read Darren Revell said that he the ownership and asked all sort of season ticket holders to renew it in February in case LeBron did leave, which makes sense financially. But obviously now this team isn't going to get a lot of fanfare. I can't see them being any sort of force, even in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I agree, Jack. I think, honestly, arguably, you could say they could get lower. You know, there's no playmakers or no the point guard. Obviously, they have a rookie, you know, and a lot of the guys on the team are old. They're not going to get better. You know, Kevin Love's not going to have his best season ever. He might get more touches. Not like he's athletically going to get better. J.R. Smith has been on the decline. You know, Kyle Korver's a guy they're trying to move. So I don't see a lot of positive for the Cavs. And I think they'll be a bottom 10 team this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they sank even lower, especially if they move Love or somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, this team can go, you know, really far back if Kevin Love was moved. I mean, this is probably the worst team in the league, depending on their return in a Kevin Love trade, arguably.
Argument's definitely 20. There.
Yeah, I have them at 20. I guess just because they're in the East, and I don't know, I guess I've given them the benefit of the doubt. You guys have almost kind of, you know, moved me to pushing them, you know, farther back in the power rankings. The 22.4 may be fair at this point in time, but I think we may be moving them backwards when the season starts.
Not to mention their defense is probably trash. It's not like it's going to magically get better. They just have a lot of guys that can't defend.
They don't have a guy who can give you, you know, one or two chase down blocks to make it look.
Yeah, they don't have an all-time great on the roster. It could be a problem.
Now, just 0.4 higher on the power rankings are the Charlotte Hornets. They moved Dwight Howard, as we know. They've actually been slightly busy. They got Biombo recently. What are your guys' thoughts on the Charlotte Hornets?
I mean, for me, their starting lineup is still a bit of a hornet's nest. I don't know what's going on. I mean, Kemba Walker, is he going to be traded? Obviously, we know Evan and Dylan's thoughts being Charlotte boys themselves. They're obviously always going to be on the fringes as a team. We sort of saw that last year, but they underperformed. I see that happening again this year. We've been waiting for the Michael Kidd Gilchrist breakout season for the last 3 years. I don't know when it's going to happen and if it's ever going to happen. And he's on an elevated contract. They've got a lot of guys who are on elevated contracts. I think from memory that like Kemba Walker is like the seventh highest paid Hornet. And, you know, obviously he's going to deserve a max or close to it. And I think Mitch Kupchak has come out and said that, like, you know, they want him or to be a Hornet for life. So who knows what could happen there. I just think that the Hornets, like some of these teams out East, they're going to be sort of afterthoughts. Like, you know, they're not going to be like a league pass. It's like, oh yeah, I want to check out this young guy. You know, Miles Bridges is okay, but you know, he hasn't shown as many flashes in this summer league and off season as a lot of other guys have.
Yeah. I think the one shining light for Monk, you know, he didn't play a lot last year. He had high expectations. Obviously, Clifford doesn't like to play rookies. Yeah, and so if they could get him and then he could go into the season and maybe have a nice little splash, that'd be good. But other than that, you know, like you said, Jack, it's not a great roster. You know, and Kemba could easily be moved, especially if they don't want to lock up the money next year. Like, their contract situation is pretty bad too. So it's just not a lot of high hopes. And what I would do if I was the Hornets was kind of rebuild a little bit, but maybe play some of the veterans, but play some of the young guys like Monk, Willie Hermann Gomez, you know, giving Miles Bridges good minutes and then see what happens. I don't think you should. They're trying to contend and make the playoffs, where they should try to focus on development and then see what happens.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Also, Jack, we were spot on with 22.
Yes.
So, you know, kudos. I think this is pretty fair. And like you mentioned, Nick, you know, they have that desire right now to push for the playoffs. I think the route they should take is let the young guys play and maybe you get lucky and make the playoffs, but don't, you know, put Malik Monk on the bench again just to try and compete for whatever reason. I think that's fair. Next up is a team that some people had 30th and then some people had 15th.
Dominant.
They're expected by ownership to win 50 plus games. And that's the Memphis Grizzlies. They come in at 21.1 on these rankings.
Yeah, last year they certainly would have left some of their fans with some grizzly beards. This is getting hard, guys. I think that they're going to have a bounce back season. Mike Conley, if he can be healthy, Marc Gasol, is waning, but is still a capable center. And, you know, obviously we'll check in the power rankings for the players, whether he's, you know, a top five in that position. But I really like the addition of Jaren Jackson. He has been an absolute monster. He's, you know, shooting the three ball. He's blocking shots. He's a perfect two-way player. They've got to start him next to Marc Gasol. I love that sort of pairing there. They got Kyle Anderson. They're certainly not going to be the fastest paced team this season, that's for sure, but they never have been. They're sort of, you know, harking back to those days of the grit and grind a little bit. You know, Kyle Anderson certainly can't shoot the three, but he's a capable wing, especially defensively. You know, he can play make a little bit. I don't mind the signing. It's just a bit odd in terms of the amount and the length of it all. But, you know, I feel like this Grizzlies team can be on the outlier of the playoffs. So they're like a lot of East Western Conference teams that'll be sort of vying for those six to 10 spots. I think they'll be in that range. And, you know, if Mike Conley is healthy, you know, he is still one of the most underrated point guards in the league today.
Yeah, I think, you know, health is another big factor for them in the season. Conley and Gasol staying healthy, but like you said, Jack, adding Kyle Anderson, also Omri Caspi, I think was a nice add as well. You know, they'll be closer to 500 than the record last year. I wouldn't be surprised if they're at some points competing for the 8 seed, but then kind of fall short at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think this rating is fair. I'm pretty much spot on again with the meme. I think you guys are right. This team will be competitive. I think 55 games is a long shot. And then, of course, and I think this is always going to be attached to the Grizzlies, it's going to be health. You know, if Conley and Gasol can stay on the court, they'll be more competitive. If they can't, we'll see what we saw last year. Next up is the Dallas Mavericks, who come in at 20.8. You know, they made a couple of additions. They got DeAndre Jordan. They drafted Luka Doncic, which many are thinking could be, you know, the next face of the league. Thoughts on the Mavericks, guys?
Look, I want to hear your thoughts first, Corey, because like a couple of people and guys whose opinions I respect more than any other, you, Evan, and Dylan both had them as 24th. That's quite, I mean, a few spots lower than guys like me, Dom, and Dennis, who had them around 19th, and even Alex, who had them at 17th. Is there a reason why you had them in this spot so much lower than some of us?
You know, I just look at the roster and I just don't see a team, especially out west, you know, when they got a battle against a lot of these tough teams. You know, that's, you know, Dennis Smith Jr. wasn't really efficient last year. I mean, maybe Luka Doncic can kind of open up the floor more. But again, you know, Luka Doncic, some people are really high on it. Some people think he might be a bust. I mean, it's hard to kind of gauge these guys who come over from Europe. You know, Wesley Matthews coming from that Achilles never really been the same. I think DeAndre Jordan could have a good year. I just don't see players really on this roster that push them as far up as some people have them. I just think this is a team that's going to be probably, you know, at best, you know, 10 games under 500.
That's fair.
I think depth would probably be an issue for the team, but obviously Luka is going to be a big factor to what happens. I think DeAndre gives them a nice presence in the paint that they haven't had in quite some time. But, you know, I could see it go either way. I don't think this spot is terrible for them at 20. I could see them a few slots lower, a few slots higher, possibly. A lot depends on Luka and what happens in his rookie season. And rookie seasons are probably one of the hardest things to kind of predict.
Yeah, definitely. And I had them 19th. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, there was a huge discrepancy between like 15th and 30th. But I think that they've got a little bit of youth on their side. DeAndre Jordan is a monster when it comes to the boards. He's lost a step defensively, but he gives them something. I think that, you know, Luka Doncic, the trade and the signing was a masterstroke and had to be done. And, you know, Harrison Barnes is an okay player. Wesley Matthews, I like, you know, Dennis Smith Jr. and Luka Doncic. I feel like that sort of franchise foundation, I think, is going to be awesome, not just for marketing purposes, but going forward. I think they can balance each other out nicely. And I think it's a really good young foundation in the backcourt.
Yeah, a little fire and ice. You know, have a super athlete in Dennis Smith Jr. and then Luka, who's more of a heady player.
Yep.
I mean, certainly one team I'm going to cap my eyes on, because I think we're all very intrigued in Doncic.
Yeah, I'm looking to the oops. You know, I think DeAndre is going to have a good time in Dallas.
Yeah, I agree. And who knows? Maybe, you know, having someone in the paint can open up the floor. Maybe, and we'll see Harrison Barnes kind of have a breakout year, because I think he's kind of been on the cusp of everyone wanting him to kind of explode and take that next jump.
Yeah, I think it'll benefit him too, having a nice ball handler. If Luka, you know, is what he's supposed to be, which I think he will be, it'll kind of take some pressure off him, and having DeAndre there too will take up some more pressure. So I think Harrison Barnes, like you said, Corey, could have a big year.
Yep. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Full Access Hoops. Peace out, knuckleheads.